was inspired by the Lord on our testimony Sunday that God wants to renew us as wineskins are renewed so that new wine can be poured into us. And I believe that God's works of grace are always new and fresh. And I believe that he has some new wine that he wants to pour into the church today. So we must be willing to stretch with the new wine of his presence, and we need to be made new. And last week we talked about how yesterday's experience will not do for today. You need to have a whole new experience for a whole new day. And you need to get a fresh revelation of Jesus in your spirit by reading the Word and by being with the Word. And you need to get a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit by worshiping and praying and asking God to anoint you and make you flexible and useful again. And we talked about last week how literally the wineskins were renewed by being soaked in water and then rubbed with oil. And so we need to be soaked in the Word of God. Because the Bible talks about washing with the Word. In fact, I changed my practice this week. Usually when I have my morning devotional, I'll read the scripture and I jot down some notes and maybe make some things, make a list of things I want to look up and study a little bit deeper. But this past week, all my notes say is washing in the Word. That's it. I didn't write down any details. I just prayed, Lord, wash me in your Word. And then I wrote down, washing in the Word. Just wash me in your Word. And we need to pray for his anointing on us, a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit on us to make us new and renew us so that we can be filled with the wine of his presence. We need that. Now today we're in Isaiah chapter 40, and we're going to start at verse 27. Some of this will be very familiar to you, but let's read it, and then we'll talk about it. Okay, would you please stand, and I'll read. You can follow along. Isaiah chapter 40, starting at verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. All right, you may be seated. I started purposely with verse 27. Most of us are familiar with 30 and 31, where it talks about being renewed and soaring and running and walking. But it starts there with the question. You know, sometimes we say these words, my way is hidden, or I'm disregarded by God. And sometimes when we are feeling like that old, dried up wineskin that we talked about last week, we might think that God no longer cares, or that God has given up on us, or he simply isn't paying attention to our situation. Sometimes we feel that way. Now, if you've been walking with the Lord for a while, you know deep down in your heart that he hasn't given up on you, but sometimes you just feel it. You know what I'm saying? The difference between your faith and your feelings, they don't always line up. And you, by faith, you know God's there, but your feeler, just, where's God? Sometimes I think that is us. It's not true, because God is fully aware of your situation. He knows what you need, and he wants to fill all of us with the new wine of his presence and power. And so we need to be renewed. And let's talk about being renewed. The word renewed means to exchange, as taking off old clothing and putting on new. So we can exchange our weakness for his power. We can, as the scripture says here, we can soar on wings as eagles. Or some translations say we can mount up on wings as eagles. And that's the picture of renewal that is painted here. It's also mentioned in Psalm 103, verse 5. It talks about renewal, and it makes reference to an eagle there. And it says, God, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So this idea of renewal is tied to a place in the Bible. And there's a lot of speculation about the meaning. What does that really mean, to be renewed like an eagle. And some of the old legends say that eagles go through a molting in their old age that includes a new beak and new talons as well as new feathers. But I looked into that, and there's really no evidence to support all of that. But what we do know is the eagle goes through stages of life, and each stage has different types and colors of feathers, which are beneficial for that particular stage of life. The eagle also does molt, which means to grow new feathers, like most birds, but it does it a little at a time rather than all at once. So it is continually being renewed. And likewise, we can continually be renewed. 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18 says, "We do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." There it is, being renewed day by day. As we fix our eyes on eternity, we can be continually renewed like the eagle. It's when we fix our eyes on the temporary that we get run down and worn out and dried up. But when we fix our eyes on the eternal, we can be renewed every day. And as we wait on the Lord, as the scripture says here in Isaiah 40, God enables us to soar even in a crisis. As I said, some of the translations say instead of soaring, it says to mount up. And that means to go up or ascend or to go up over a boundary. God will provide renewed strength and courage to overcome obstacles if we'll only keep our eyes on Him and trust in Him. In fact, as I was researching this, I found a little clip, a slow motion clip of an eagle taking off, and it's really pretty impressive. I mean, the wingspans just go up, and he whoosh, and he mounts up, and he flies up over the trees. And God can renew us and help us to mount up as well. We can soar like an eagle. Also, as we wait before the Lord, He enables us to run through the challenges we face. Anybody have any challenges you're facing? If you'll wait and put your hope and trust in God, you can run through those challenges. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 talks about running, and it says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God." And then it says, "Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." And there it is again. Fix your eyes on eternity. Fix your eyes on Jesus, because He's the one who enables you to keep on going and to run with perseverance through all the challenges of this life. So as we wait on God, we can mount up and soar on wings like eagles. We can run with perseverance. And as we wait on God, He enables us to walk faithfully in the day-by-day demands of life. It's actually harder to walk in the ordinary pressures of life than to fly like the eagle in a time of crisis. Because walking is constant, and the pressures of life never let up. You know, a crisis generally it's short-lived, and so God can enable you to soar over that, but then it's over. But the walking day by day just never ends. And the pressures of life just never end. And so we need God's strength just to carry on and plod along. In fact, William Carey, who was a prominent missionary, said, "I can plod." Plod, P-L-O-D. I can plod. That is my only genius. I can persevere in any definite pursuit. To this I owe everything. In other words, he was a successful missionary, but he didn't attribute it to being a great speaker or anything else. It's just because I can plod on. church, we're called to keep on walking. You know, it said the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. And the greatest heroes of faith are not always those who seem to be soaring. Often it is those who are patiently plodding. As we wait on the Lord, He enables us not only to fly higher and run faster, but also to walk longer. And it's been said, blessed are the plodders, for they eventually arrive at their destination. Just keep plugging away with God. And even that plugging away, we can draw on His strength. 1 John 2:6 speaks of this walking. It says we should walk as Jesus did. 2 John verse 6 says that we should walk in love. And 3 John verses 3 and 4 says that we should continue to walk in the truth. In fact, the Apostle John there says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. That's his highest joy, is that believers just continue walking in the truth. And it all comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's be renewed day by day as we focus on Jesus. And that brings me to the second point. Let's wait on the Lord. The word wait here does not suggest that we just sit around and do nothing. That's not really the picture. It means actually to look for with eager expectation. The NIV and some others translate it to hope in the Lord. And it means we look to God for all that we need. At its root, it means to bind together. And so we tie all of our hopes and dreams to God. We trust Him with everything. We bind ourselves to Him alone and don't look for any other person or thing to save us and renew us. We wait on God. We bind ourselves to God. We look expectantly to God. Psalm chapter 40, verse 1, 2, and 3 says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. It's a similar thought, waiting patiently on God, and then God's response to that. And some of you here feel like you are in the mud and the mire, the slimy pit. Some feel like there's nothing to sing about, but I want to say, keep your focus on Jesus. Wait on Him, and He will renew you. He can lift you out of that pit and set your feet on solid ground. Wait on the Lord. I found a website that talks about this waiting on the Lord. It says, waiting on the Lord necessitates two key elements. Dependence on God, and a willingness to allow him to decide the terms, including the timing of His plan. And it means trusting God with the timing of events, and that's one of the hardest things to do, to trust God with the timing, right? I trust God right now, right? Or the old half-joking prayer, Lord, I need patience, and I need it right now. Really not that far removed from the truth of how we approach matters of spiritual growth and how we approach matters of the Lord's will. We want to know right now. But to wait on the Lord will produce character in the life of the Christian if we'll just hang in there and keep putting our hope and trust in God. The word wait in the Bible carries the idea of confident expectation and hope. We wait on the Lord in a way similar to how we wait on the arrival of out-of-town relatives with loving anticipation of seeing them again. And that's not too far from home because just recently we had family gatherings over the holidays, and some of us kind of look forward to seeing our family again and spend a little time with them. That's the kind of waiting we do on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord also involves being at rest in Him. In the 23rd Psalm, The good shepherd leads us to the still waters. The words, he makes me lie down, can be translated, he causes me to rest. When we, like sheep, are still, we are resting in the Lord and trusting him rather than our own ingenuity, strength, and willpower. We're looking to God. We're resting in him. Now, the idea of waiting on the Lord is not like waiting for the dentist in the waiting room. Hallelujah. That's no fun for anybody, right? Rather, the sense here of waiting on the Lord is more like what a waiter does at a restaurant, anticipating and meeting the requests of the one that he's waiting on. Our waiting on the Lord is not just biding our time until we finally get the service that we've been waiting for. It's filling our time, serving the Master, always on our feet, ready to minister. Just like a waiter that stops by your table, says, how are things? Can I get you anything else? A good waiter? You know, your glass is empty. Let me fill that up for you. A good Christian who waits on the Lord doesn't just sit there, but they're listening and paying attention to what God's doing. Even though it might not be the end game of what God has for your life, I'm attentive to what he has for me right now. The command to wait on the Lord means that we are to be near him and attentive so that we may catch the slightest suggestion of what he wants for us. You know, those of you who have perhaps felt a call on your life, you probably understand what I'm talking about. When is this going to be fulfilled, and what's it going to look like when I finally walk in my calling? I understand that. But in the meantime, you need to keep on waiting on God and not just wait for the big thing, but wait on God in terms of, Lord, what do you want from me right now? What can I do in this moment? How can I serve you now? And I'll keep on doing what you've asked me to do until you open the door for the next thing. That's waiting on the Lord. So I say, let's be renewed. Let's be renewed by waiting expectantly on the Lord. And fundamental to this being able to wait like this is we have to trust the goodness of God's character. Don't you think? If we're going to just sit and wait, do the little things while we wait for the big thing, we need to trust God. And so my final point is this: get a better picture of God. Get a better picture of God. Verse 28 says, he's the everlasting God. He always was, he is, and he always will be. God is not limited by time or space. He is beyond all of that. 1 Timothy 1:17 speaks of the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God. To him be honor and glory forever and ever. He's the everlasting God. He is the creator, it says in our text. That's with a capital C. To create from nothing. And there is nothing and no one else that can do that. To create from nothing? You know, give me a scrap of wood and I can make something out of that, but God doesn't need anything to start with, and he can make something. That's who God is, the creator. And he is tireless. He doesn't need to recharge. He doesn't need to sleep. And he understands fully. He knows you better than you know yourself. That's scary and comforting all at the same time. He knows you better than you know yourself. Isaiah 55:8-9, familiar verse. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God understands everything. And you can look earlier in our text here in Isaiah chapter 40, and in verse 18, you can see that God is incomparable. Nothing else even comes close. You can't really compare him to anything. Every description we have of God pales in comparison to who he really is. Verse 22, he's enthroned above the earth. In other words, he is the king over all, and he is in charge. The troubles you're facing, the circumstances of your life, they're not in charge. God is in charge. Verse 22 also, he stretches out the heavens. In other words, again, he is not limited by space. Even the entire universe is not too much for God. He is beyond all of that. And since he's not limited by space, he's able to easily reach into your situation. Isaiah 59:1 says, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. He's the creator. He stretches out the heavens and the entire universe. Nothing's too far for him to reach into. Verse 26, he created the heavens, and he knows each star by name. Our best astronomers don't even know how many stars there are. They're just guessing. But God knows every star by name. Verse 11 says, he is the great shepherd who carries you close to his heart. That's profound to me. Here I've just described the everlasting God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's beyond time and space. He's beyond comprehension. He's all of that, and yet he carries us close to his heart. Every time I delve into this subject, it blows my mind. And I've been doing this a long time, church. Every single time when I study who God really is and how magnificent he really is, and yet he cares intimately about me, it blows my mind. He carries you close to his heart. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. God is right there. And verse 8 says, his word stands forever. Words like Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. God is near you. He's right there. He never leaves you. That's the word of the Lord. And his word stands firm forever. Verse 2, he speaks tenderly to you. And verse 1, he says, comfort. Comfort my people. That's God's heart for you. God wants to bring renewal. He wants to pour his new wine of his presence into us. We need a fresh anointing. We need a fresh walk with God. We need his power in us. And I believe God wants to do that. And so I say, let's be made new again. Know that God is close. He's in charge, and he cares for you. Get that settled in your heart. Wait on him, patiently serving him and listening to him. Be renewed by focusing on him so that you can soar above all obstacles, run through any crisis, and walk faithfully in love and truth day by day until he returns. Wait on the Lord. Trust him. Put your hope in him, and he will renew you. Again, last week, be washed and soaked in the word of God. Just read the word and get it in you, and it'll do a washing in you. Be anointed by the Holy Spirit. Worship and pray and ask God for a fresh anointing. And today, wait on the Lord. Put your hope and your trust in him. Remember who he really is. Get a better picture of God and be renewed. Be renewed. Be refreshed. think there's a lot of us in this room that need a renewal. We need a refreshing. We need to be made new again. And God can do it. God can do it. All we have to do is cooperate with what He wants to do. As always, God always does the heavy lifting. He does the hard work. We just have to cooperate. So let's wait expectantly on God. Let's put our hope and our trust in Him. Let's get our eyes focused on Him. And He will lift us up. He will cause us to run and not grow weary and walk without becoming faint. God can do it. Amen. Would you please stand? Let's sing the song I'm sure is familiar to you. The Everlasting God. As we wait upon the Lord, wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, our reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, everlasting God. Like eagles, strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You reign for faith, you won't grow weary. Praise you, Lord. Us up on wings like eagles. Praise you, Lord. We acknowledge who you are, the everlasting God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. There is nothing too difficult for you. And Lord, we fix our eyes on you. And we wait upon you in hope and trust, expecting that you are going to make us new and fill us again with your presence and your power. God, soak us in your word. Anoint us in your Holy Spirit. And renew us, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Lord, let us not be satisfied with where we are, but let us have a fresh working of your Spirit in us today. A fresh work for a fresh day. Lord, don't let us just be dry and weary and worn out, but make us new again. Fill us with your Spirit. Revive us, Lord, I pray. Soften our hearts. Anoint us with the oil of your Holy Spirit so that we can stretch and flex with your moving and your ministering in us and through us. Lord, we don't want to be stuck in a rut. We want to walk a fresh walk with you. So renew us, God. We look forward to the new wine of your presence and power. But we understand there's a process of being renewed. So renew us, God. Renew us. Renew us, I pray. being attentive to what you have for us.